8:06 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Tracy's just a few minutes away from joining me here on the Beacon. We've got an awful lot to talk about this morning. You know what, Robbie? That's pretty cool. They're having the wrestling guys in with us.
Yeah, I mean, I've told them off air that I only got into wrestling in the past 2 years, and they said that, you know, they wish they could be reintroduced to wrestling and have it be brought into new eyes. And, you know, to see these guys actually in person, to, you know, it's not just a television screen I'm watching it through. I'm going to do everything in my power to go tomorrow, because this sounds really exciting.
Yeah. And what great guys. I mean, it's just and the fact that they put these together so they're family oriented, as they said, you know, they have kids of their own and want to keep it family, family entertainment. But I just asked Hale whether or not they had other ones in scheduled at this point. They do not, but they plan to. So they'll be back with us in the future. So boy, I tell you what, there's so much going on. It's nice though on Fridays, and we'll get more folks coming in about events that are happening over the weekend. And it's just, we're coming into the better weather now. We talked the other day about next week at this time we have the Beacon Farmers Market. I think it's Amy from the Beacon Farmers Market will be with us here next Friday at this time. On Thursday of next week, we have Susan Browning, CEO of Vassar Medical Center, going to be in with us with John Nelson, their media person. And next Tuesday is, again, a manufacturing day from Council of Industry. Very, very important. And after years and years and years of working on that, I just see momentum gaining. But getting more and more and more people, men, women, to understand. Yeah, go ahead. Good morning, Tom here. Who have we got?
Yeah, this is Chris from the Catskills. How are you?
Good, Chris. How are you? Thanks for calling.
We're not on the air, are we?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. I wanted to contribute to the conversation about healthcare.
Yes, sir.
I liked some of the things you were saying. To make like a simple analogy, like an 8-slice pizza pie, you're presenting like 2 or 3 of the slices of what the problems are, and maybe a little bit of the ingredients or your suggestions are a little off. But I agree with you in your discussion of the need for improvement in rural areas. I think it's rather not exactly accurate that we could assume that all healthcare practitioners are going to be entrepreneurs and businessmen or businesswomen also, and be able to run their own practices where it's a doctor-owned type
sure.
facility.
Yep.
I think a lot of the problems in our country, if you really look at the problems, why the United States healthcare system is ranked 48th or 49th in the world, consistency and World Health Organization rankings, the geographical size of the United States is going to prevent us from ever having a quality healthcare system that matches a country like Singapore or these small Scandinavian countries or France. I think it's problematic right now with the budget that Trump has put forward, that he's calling for a 13% increase in military spending, from the sentiment of the following. We're the number one military superpower in the world. If you look at the countries that have better quality healthcare systems than we do, they're not military superpowers. They're countries where we're subsidizing the defense of those nations.
Yes.
And they have better healthcare than we do. So it's, unfortunately, it's the price that we pay in this country for being the number one military superpower. If you look at the war that George W. Bush got us into in the Middle East, I remember hearing on Fox News back 18 years ago that the cost associated with going into Iraq and Afghanistan, and this is long before we even pulled out, could have paid for socialized medicine for 310 million people back when the population was at that level for 10 or 12 years in this country. So I think these are like pragmatic realities that we have to take into account. And then if we look at our healthcare system, Western-based medicine does not look at causational factor.
Correct.
And if you don't know what the cause is, you can't really cure people. A lot of these prescription medications and surgical treatments aren't really providing a cure because the cause was never known. It's like a Band-Aid fix. No. For example, anti-inflammatories are shutting off the body's natural anti-inflammatory processes. Things like that. I think you're... A lot of doctors, unfortunately, the structure of our modern medical schools is sapping them of problem-solving intelligence. And
to your point, over the dozen years plus I've been doing this show, the number of doctors that I have had in here will confirm what you just said. And you know, and especially if you go back to the prevention in food and medicine. Food and nutrition standpoint, they've all made that perfectly clear. So, there are so many different parts of this. And what you said a minute ago, given how complex government has made a lot of this, especially on the reporting, it is not realistic to think that the individual practitioner can make it through that administrative maze. But again, we as a nation, the different things that you just talked about, Chris, in terms of how we spend our dollars, I don't ever remember a public discussion about how we prioritize how we spend our scarce resources. It's, you know, everybody has their own special interest involved. And at some point, we have to have that honest discussion as to how we prioritize. But the other point that you made about the fact that we've been playing policeman to the world while we've let our own infrastructure go down over years and years, that has to end. We cannot keep heaping this debt on future generations and letting infrastructure in this country keep going down. So Chris, I'm up against the break right now, and you said you're in Catskill.
I'm a talk radio junkie over the years, and, uh-huh. and I call into different programs, and,
sure.
you know, like with New York City, the big time hosts, some of whom have temporarily or permanently retired from talk radio to run for political office, like with WABC down in New York City.
Yep.
So that's kind of the name I go by when I call in.
Okay, good. Good. Well, we'll leave it right there. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for a great phone call.
All right. Take care.
Quick break here at 8:15. We're getting into the sports report. And when we come back, Tracy is in studio, and we're going to, listen to some audio from the RFK Jr. We've got a lot to do between now and 8:56 this morning on The Beacon.
Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
Hudson Valley Focus on The Beacon, and I want to thank our friends at Atlas Star for sponsoring our quarter-hour sports report. So on Monday, Tony Marmo is going to be in, and we're going to talk about interviewing good news, bad news interviews, and then we'll probably talk about sports as well. Right now, Tracy Hayritz, your dietitian, is here. Where do you want to start? We have I have that audio from the Maha Agenda. That was the interview with I think it was from Brett Baer.
Mm-hmm.
With the folks. You wanted to make the point, something we had talked about a while back related to the phone call from Chris, about going back to moving away from like a holistic kind of medicine, food, and nutrition all the way back to Rockefeller a little over 100 years ago, I believe.
Yeah, it was 1910.
Okay.
Right. And we talked about this on previous shows,
mm-hmm.
that he really did a takeover, him and Carnegie, with something that was called the Flexner Report, where basically they overtook all the natural medicine and, kind of went around the country saying they needed to standardize everything.
Right.
And like I said, that's when all these medicines came in.
And I almost use the word, they industrialized it.
They did.
And that's when the pharmaceuticals mm-hmm. came in and something they could turn a bigger profit on.
Correct. So, you know, I do believe, especially now we're coming to where we do know the root causes of these things. And, you know, natural ways to treat them. I've always said, you give the body what it needs, it will heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we talk about that being healthy food and, again, just getting good rest and exercising and doing all those things that, if you look back 80, 100 years ago, you know, that was very different.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we didn't have cell phones. We weren't sitting around on computers. We were outside enjoying fresh air, getting in touch, you know, grounding with the earth, right? We talk about those mm-hmm. things too. So
one of the huge factors, I know we've talked about it before, clean water and sanitation systems have made, especially in cities and urban areas, made an enormous, enormous difference in the spread of disease.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And was you know, huge.
Well, and like I said, the eating good, clean food.
Yes.
Whole food, not the ultra-processed.
So probably not even going to have time to get to it today. We wanted to talk about a new food pyramid, I think, new nutrition guidelines that we'll have to make sure we get into our conversation as we go forward here.
All right. So I believe you have.
Let's play. This is in its entirety is 11 minutes long. Let's, you know, play. Go ahead. We'll start with this and. We'll see where
a healthy person has 1,000 dreams. A sick person only has one. And right now, there's 60% of the people in this country who have only one dream. If they can make it through a day without pain, with energy, without having to take medications.
Goal is to make America healthy again. Let's bring in our guest, Dr. Marty McCarry, Food and Drug Administration Commissioner. Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. News. Dr. Mehmet Oz, Administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and National Institutes of Health Director, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Thank you all for being here. Mr. Secretary, this is unique in that you work with all these guys very closely, and it's a different scenario for HHS.
Yeah, I actually had Tommy Thompson in this morning talking to me, who is the HHS who had my job under the Bush administration, and I was talking about my relationship with these gentlemen who are running the agency, running the major sub-agencies of HHS, and he said that nothing like that had ever happened in history. I say that I talk to them typically about 2 or 3 times a day.
My friends laughed at me for buying the...
Hold on.
Okay.
We're friends. We go to lunch together. We stay at each other's homes. We vacation together. And then, you know, we're aligned in our vision. Friendship is based upon shared values. And that's the strongest bond that holds people together. And in this, we all share a vision that's been a lifelong vision for all of us, which is to make our country healthy, to have evidence-based science, to have gold standard replicable science, and then use that to challenge what we have, this kind of bedrock system that is destroying our health, which is a complete misalignment of economic incentives and public health. Yesterday we met with the heads of all the biggest pharmaceutical companies. And I said, I want to live in a place where you can make money by making people healthy. And right now we're all aligned against each other. The healthcare system in this country is a bundle of perverse incentives that force people to do the wrong thing. And we've turned this country into a sick care system rather than a health care system. And all these people are the people who are going to change that.
I know you all have a lot of balls in the air, but I'd love to go down the row and
let's stop right there,
the big.
That's exactly what we've said for a dozen years in terms of, you know, sick care system instead of practicing prevention and wellness.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and we've always said, you know, medications are a needed thing.
Yes.
Right. But it should always be the goal to get them as low as possible or get you off of them. And there will be scenarios clearly where you can't do that 100%. But, you know, again, that's what I believe their goal is now at the HHS.
I certainly would hope so. And the you talked about perverse incentives, where we have had this revolving door between people working in these federal agencies and then getting very lucrative positions working in, you know, some of the pharmaceutical industries. That's would be one of those perverse incentives.
Well, and I really hope that one of the things he works on is getting all these commercials out off of everything.
And that's going to be tough TV. because of the you know, freedom of speech issue. And but what did we do with cigarette smoking?
Yeah, I don't see ads for that anymore.
Yeah. So I don't know where that how that's going to play out.
Because again, once you plant something in someone's mind, mm-hmm. right, and they're like, "Oh, I think I have that. Let me go talk to my doctor right. about that." And it's one thing to say, okay, I want to talk to my doctor about something, but to then say, well, this medication is going to, I don't want to say cure it, but, right. you know, treat it.
Yep.
Again, but we're not treating underlying issues.
Right. Robbie, see if you can advance that video to where Marty Makary, I think that's what he was introducing him as the next speaker. Is that?
Well, first of all, we want to focus the agency on cures and meaningful treatments. In the last administration, the number one priority the commissioner stated was fighting misinformation, and the DEI staff ballooned out. We want to focus on cures and meaningful treatments. We believe in the letter and the spirit of Right to Try, and there's amazing stuff in the pipeline I've seen. We're talking about new treatments for stage 4 cancers, for neurodegenerative disorders, for diabetes that we've never seen before. Why does it take 10 years on average for drugs to come to market? Why are we blaming children for being sick and not looking at our food supply? Why are we thinking it's a willpower problem as we watch half of our nation's children with belly pain or attention deficit disorder or on medications? And can we use common sense and gold standard science both? And that's the charge that we have from Secretary Kennedy.
You've also obviously done the dyes recently, and we covered that extensively.
You know, that's what we've been talking about you know, and as I said, working this backward and see where things change and then start asking yourself what changed. This is I watched the full 30-minute piece that RFK had after one of the, during the cabinet meeting or after the cabinet meeting, I forget which it was. What he laid out was a risk management matrix about actually following the science
and legitimate science
and gleaning out of the information, you know, years and years and years of medical records of millions of individuals. And I kind of wonder if, you know, with the use of artificial intelligence to be able to glean through this, I think it's in its infancy today, but I believe there's an opportunity to actually use that to identify some root causes and treat it there.
Yeah, I actually had just some of these numbers up where this was a yearly deaths in America, and you're talking about medical errors
Oh.
are 250,000.
Yeah.
Medical misdiagnoses, 371,000. Adverse prescription reactions, 100,000. I mean, just that alone, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. those are some scary numbers when, like I said, we can be treating underlying causes with, you know, like I said, more natural approaches.
We're just about ready to go to the 8:30 break. Tracy Haight, registered dietitian, HudsonValleyNutritionWorks.com in studio with me. I think what we'll do when we come back is we'll fast forward to, I think Dr. Oz is the next one in line to speak right there. We should be able to doing it this way. I think we can then hear from Dr. Oz and then Jay Bhattacharya also. So back in a minute on Hudson Valley Focus Live with Tracy on the Beacon. Hudson Valley Focus Live, Tracy, a registered dietitian in studio, and we have been playing courtesy Fox News that Brett Baer interview with Dr. Marty Makary, RFK Jr., Dr. Oz, and Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Let's pick it up here with the next segment, please.
There's a lot of focus on Medicaid and Medicare, and it gets demagogued all the time that you're coming after it, that you're going to kill it, that you're going to cut
it. Chip Roy earlier this morning.
What do you say to all that?
Our goal is to put health back in Health and Human Services. And under Secretary Kennedy, and that's why we're all here, we're laser focused on the broader picture, the more holistic picture. In the back of this wonderful theater that we're recording in now, there's a quote from Hubert Humphrey, the building's named after him. He's a Democrat. And he said, it's the moral obligation of government to take care of those of us at the very dawn of our lives, children, at the twilight of our life, the elderly, and those living in the shadows. That's our focus. It's quality of care at all levels. And we're working together to make sure that happens. In every single scenario that we're looking at, we are increasing payment in Medicaid, putting more money in the Medicaid.
Increasing.
So the question is, how do you spend that money so efficiently that you stop throwing money at problems, but actually deal with the broader health needs? Addressing the fundamental reality that 70% of the money that CMS spends, and that's what Medicare, Medicaid, the exchanges, CHIP, 70% of the money we spend is on chronic illness. And we're not getting our money's worth. So for folks listening right now, it's your patriotic duty to be as healthy as you can, and it's our job to help you get there, make it easy to do the right things. At the same time, we've got to make wise decisions because we're stewards who have to protect the money for the population that Hubert Humphrey described.
Fiscal year 2024, largest percentage of improper payments, $54 billion in Medicare, $31 billion Medicaid. Earned income tax credit was 15, SNAP was 10.5. But I mean, you're looking at 84, 5 million in improper payments?
Billion.
That's an underestimate.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We have a war room now, a war room to fight back against adversaries. And these aren't just small-time players. These are foreign governments, weaponized, organized crime. And why are they coming after us? Because our budget is nearly $2 trillion, if you include the monies that are spent that we direct but sometimes don't come out of our pocketbooks. But the direct budget just for CMS is $1.75.
Do you have old?
Oh man, 1.75 trillion, I think. So this is we've known about this stuff for years, and Congress owns this problem. I don't care whether they're Democrats or Republicans, they have had the responsibility to have oversight, and they have failed the public in exercising that oversight.
Yeah, and in many areas.
Yeah,
not just this one.
And one of the problems is, and I certainly have spoken about this for years. I think you and I have spoken about it, Tracy. Is you have those long term? Well, let's take Dr. Fauci. He was there for 40 or 50 years. Those people under those agencies, they're there. Administrations come and administrations go, and congressional representatives, for the most part, come and go. And those individuals, if I go back to the first Trump administration, when he tried to reform some of these agencies, they openly declared themselves the resistance. They did not – those long-term career politicians – no, not politicians, administrative agency employees didn't want anybody rocking their boat.
Mm-hmm. Which is why it's so important now that he's putting that these people are in charge.
And being disruptive in what they're doing. Where are you on there, Robbie? Do we still have Dr. Oz talking? Let's play a little bit more of that before we have to take in the sports break.
$1 trillion. That's twice the defense budget. So there's a big target on our back, and folks are coming after it. And they're the kinds of things that should make you mad. It's USAID on steroids, frankly. But I'll give you a couple examples. Almost 250,000 Americans found out by surprise, because they got an IRS notice, that they had gotten the Affordable Care Act insurance without knowing it. Why would you sign someone up without telling them they have insurance? Because brokers can steal the money. We have hundreds of millions of dollars spent on housekeeping. We have tens of millions of dollars spent on public unions getting free childcare or student tuition or DEI programs. I have an obligation, all of us do, to protect the people that Humphrey was speaking about. And if we're not going to protect the most vulnerable, that's who they're stealing money from, then we're not doing our job. So we're going after, there's a new sheriff in town, and we're coming after folks in a very big way.
NIH, always looking to the next thing, but there are people concerned that funding is drying up. In the president's budget, FDA is spared, but there's $33.3 billion cut from HHS, $18 billion from NIH, $674 million from CMS. Does that affect you, and how do you portray that about what NIH is doing?
I mean, I think that the key fact look at for NIH is that the mission of the NIH is supposed to do research that improves the health and longevity of the American people. And since 2012, we've seen no increase in life expectancy in this country. In that sense, the NIH has not done its mission dozen years. And in fact, NIH was involved in supporting research that may have actually led to the pandemic that we all just went through.
We'll speak to that for a second. Gain of function just signed this executive order the other day in the Oval Office. What does that mean to the average person? You can stop it on the U.S. side, but obviously it's happening around the world.
The U.S. is the primary state that sets the example for how to do this kind of work around the world. When the U.S. says, look, we're not going to allow scientists to play God, take viruses with cockamamie justifications, make them more transmissible, more deadly, that doesn't protect us against anybody, and it causes tremendous risk. And what the president did by signing this order is he said, no more. We're not going to have another lab-generated pandemic on my watch.
The Surgeon General nominee, it was supposed to be a hearing today on Capitol Hill. Dr. Neshwar was pulled. She's heading here to the HHS. What happened with all that?
What happened with her withdrawal? We talked to Dr. Neshwar. She is going to, we're going to put her at a very good place here at HHS. Casey Means, we felt, was the best person to really bring the vision of MAHA to the American public. She has this unique capacity to articulate it. She's written a book that really mobilized, galvanized the movement. She is an extraordinary, she is excellence in everything that she's ever endeavored.
Obviously, she's come under her own criticism about some of the things she's advocated for. She never finished her residency, and she doesn't currently have an active medical license. But that's not...
She was the top of the very top of her medical class at Stanford. She is in during her residency, she won every award that she could win. She walked away from traditional medicine because she was not curing patients. She couldn't get anybody within her profession to look at the nutrition contributions to illness. And she said, if we're really going to heal people, if we're healers, we can't just be making our life about building new procedures. We actually have to figure out new approaches to medicine. And that's the kind of leadership that she's going to bring to our country.
And last thing on this, you're...
So that's with Casey Means. We had spoken about her months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And we did actually a whole show.
Yes.
On one of her, just on her. So, and... It's true. She said the biggest thing was she was being taught was to how to write prescriptions and how to bill.
Mm-hmm. Where we started a dozen years ago, some of it, and if I go back even a little bit further, when I first started with Doc Rick and the gut health and gut leakage and microbiomes and phytonutrients and all these things, it's like, well, this is all strange foreign talk. But Tracy Haight, where it's come from since then, and what we're learning about the importance of the gut health, and as you educated folks to the fact that so much of our body's immune system starts with gut health.
Correct. Yeah. And like I said, this stuff is it's now becoming mainstream, which is great.
And this thing that they're really talking about, in some of the material the last few days, with I think it was RFK Jr. or one of the other ones talking about the fact that really trying to understand what is it about the ultra processed foods that is really impacting our body's microbiome and not providing us with the nutrient density that we need. This is across the board. There was an opportunity 12 years ago, I guess it was, when Michelle Obama had her school lunch program. There would have been an opportunity there to use that to look at the food quality, ultra-processed foods, the SNAP programs, and they didn't do that. And the fact that they wound up still, many of the schools were still serving ultra processed foods, and but in some instances, kids just throwing it away.
Well, and 70%, they say now, of our diet is ultra food,
yes,
ultra processed foods. And again, it's food-like substances. We've talked about this. It does not feed the healthy bacteria in the gut, and in some instances, it actually destroys it.
Right.
And like I said, the healthy bacteria are like little factories. We've talked about this too, right, that you really can't necessarily eat enough or take enough supplements, or but that healthy bacteria, you know, first of all, it takes care of the toxins, right? It gets those out of the body. Mm-hmm. And it also makes vitamins, you know, it makes things that our body needs.
So it's 8:46 already on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Tracy Hay, registered dietitian in studio with me. Let's get into the sports report from the Zolls with some help with our friends at Atlas Star and come back and take it up to the top of the hour here on The Beacon.
Live, local, and unafraid, this is Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
8:49 on The Beacon. So, Tracy Hay, registered dietitian in studio. Time goes by much too quickly. What have you got in your hand there?
Well, I was just looking because months back when we talked about Casey Means, I was just looking at some of my notes that, because again, when she was realizing all these things that weren't happening and stepped out to address, again, trying to address really the root causes.
Mm-hmm.
So, just some of the quotes I had from her. So she was talking about 70% of our calories are now ultra-processed. She calls it science experiments. It's a combination of chemicals. So dopamine has become a business model, right? That's our food science. A lot of the toxic foods are subsidized by the government. And one thing she stressed, which I always stress, is you can't overeat whole foods, right? So actually, real foods are what turns our satiety signals on and off. And those satiety signals are part of the problem, right? They've been overridden by food science.
And that's been, you had mentioned that to me first, Tracy, a long time ago. And recently, with the last few months, I've seen a lot of information about that. It's starting to creep out there in terms of how these foods were designed to really not satisfy the hunger signals in your body, and you just want to keep craving it.
Well, and there is a word for that. It's actually called the bliss point, right? So food is actually designed for us to reach a bliss point and turn off satiety signals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say the ultra-processed food, but food in general. So if you look 100 years ago, we weren't eating the amount of sugar that we are today,
mm-hmm.
right? So it used to be that you could eat a nice, like, ripe piece of fruit and be like, wow, that's really good. It's sweet. It's,
right.
Okay. So if you look at the ultra-processed foods of today, especially with the high-fructose corn syrup, it's always upping the ante of getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So now a nice, sweet, you know, ripe piece of fruit doesn't cut it anymore for the brain, right? It's looking for something sweeter, 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 sweeter. So, and one of the things here she had, and I've talked about before, is if you drink one soda a day times 1 month is 5 pounds of sugar.
Whew.
So then if you multiply that over, you know, 12 months, and that's just soda. We're not talking about sugary cereals, desserts, pastries. If you look at some things like even tomato sauce, sometimes there's sugar in that. Like, it's really snuck into everywhere because it's addictive. And like I said, it keeps upping the ante in the brain for that bliss point of wanting more sweet, 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 sweet.
Well, and that makes me think back to what we've talked about with artificial sweeteners and the fact that they are completely misleading the people with those, because you told me a long time ago those still are influencing your body's insulin production.
Right. So you still are releasing insulin.
Yeah.
So it's, like I said, it's, we've all been duped in several ways. That's why I always say it's not complicated to going back to eating whole real foods, but it's hard because there's, you know, salt's kind of in the same, you know, same area, right? Sodium chloride, kind of I consider is kind of like the, not the good salt. The good salt is the one that really comes from either the sea, right? So you have Celtic sea salt, or you have pink Himalayan salt that contains a whole bunch of minerals as well, not just sodium and chloride.
You know, that's interesting because I saw a thing. We've talked about the, you know, the Himalayan sea salt for a long time. And I saw a thing, well, you know, salt is salt. Well, that's not true.
That's not true. And we've actually done shows in the past about how you actually need healthy salt to bring down high blood pressure. I mean, it affects blood pressure. And a lot of people aren't getting enough healthy salt,
which
of the problem.
Which is, you know, I think a lot of people would be very, very surprised to hear that, but it is absolutely so. So, boy, I don't know. You know, I appreciate you doing this with me every other week, and I would hate to, you know, impose to say with everything going on, maybe we need to, or maybe, you know, come in a little bit earlier, which is hard. I don't know. I just, you know, I don't want to impose, but honest to God, there's so much good stuff happening here, and there's so much, and I don't even want to call it misinformation. It's just a complete lack of information that folks just have been unaware of for years and years and years.
Yeah, and I, you know, people who've heard the show for since I've been on, I talk about how I kind of had to come to terms with what I was taught initially was really all wrong.
Yes.
And, you know, I had to grieve my profession.
Yeah.
And I'm sure somebody like Casey Means was in the same boat. And that's kind of when I switched, you know, what I was teaching. And I was really going, you know, upstream. And still, you know, still going upstream, but not so much, not as much.
Well, with one of the points that you made with your early intervention with young children, you know, failure to thrive. Now you're on the front lines and seeing what works and what doesn't work.
Right. And I always said, of course, I, you know, look at the research and, but I have to pay attention where the research is coming from, who's behind it. And like I said, like doing legitimate, like objective science, following that. But a lot of times, the research was within the families that I was treating. You know, if I see something happening again and again and again, and parents just keep reporting the same thing, you know, after a while, it's like, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's usually a duck.
Right.
So, you know, despite what, you know, a physician, some of these doctors like, oh, that's not what you're seeing. Oh, it's a coincidence. I'm like, no, not really.
Yeah.
So
I just had something pop up on my computer, and we're out of time. 150th anniversary, Wappingers Falls Community Day, Saturday, May 17th, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Schlethouse Park in Wappingers. Tracy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Listeners, thank you. Robbie, thank you. Listeners, meet me back here Monday morning at 6 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on The Beacon.